This begins my message, and as we begin this Holy Week trilogy, we're calling it Hero of Heroes. And we're going to begin by reading this passage out of Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11, so just stay with me. And it says in verse 1, "Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me, and if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, "The Lord has need of them." And immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting in a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and sent him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And I mean, save us, Lord, save us. And when he had come into Jerusalem, verse 10, all the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" So the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee." You know, given the present situation, we know that the world is looking for a hero. He is looking for a savior. Some of us are looking to the president, we're looking to governors, we're looking to local officials, we're looking to the CDC, we're looking to the Arizona Department of Health for cues, at our county officials. We're looking for someone to give us true hope in the midst of this COVID-19 pandemic. You know, some of us are looking outside of the nation, we're looking at the World Health Organization. You know, maybe they can be our hero right now, maybe they can be our saviors, maybe they have the answer. You know, there's scientists out there trying to find the solution, trying to find the vaccine, testing different things. You know, it is important to know that our society is fixated on heroes. You know, or even superheroes, as we call them. But it seems to me, for some reason, no one seems to be talking about Iron Man anymore. Or Captain Marvel. No one is looking to Captain America at this moment. The reality has set in that the heroes that are the figment of our imagination cannot help us in this reality that we're faced with. We're looking to doctors, we're looking to nurses, we're looking to first responders, scientists, like I said, and we're calling them heroes. And in all honesty, they are our heroes. They're risking their lives, and they're risking their very own families. Jesus said, "Greater love has no one than this, than he who gives his life for his brother." So we commend them and we thank God for each other. We're praying for them all through the week. You know, we've been fasting, we've been seeking God on behalf of this situation. But even so, I can honestly say that all of us are just treading water. And I think Psalm 121 articulates this so well. The psalmist says, "I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth." And in the human plane, we're looking for a savior and we cannot find him. So we have to look higher and ask, "From whence comes my help?" Or, "Where is my help coming from?" But the psalmist gives the answer right away. He says, "My help comes from the Lord." So that day when Jesus entered Jerusalem for the celebration of Passover, the people were looking for a champion. They were looking for a hero. As Jews, they had heard of all their lives about this coming Messiah. There were many prophecies about the Messiah which had already been fulfilled. Number one, that he would be a descendant of David. That's why they call him the Son of David. And therefore that he was an heir to the throne. In Zechariah, even as we read in the passage, Matthew is quoting from Zechariah. It says that Jesus would ride on a donkey, which was the mark of princes in the Hebraic tradition of kings. Furthermore, in the Gospel of John, it tells us that Jesus had just arrived from Bethany, where he had visited his friends Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. And if you remember, this is the passage where Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. And it says in John that immediately after that, he went into Jerusalem for this Passover. So his fame had preceded him. They had heard of the miracles. They had heard of the great deeds that Jesus was doing throughout the land, casting out demons, you know, preaching teachings like no one can, and giving hope to everyone. He was their hero that day. Remember, he had raised Lazarus from the dead. So the people in Jerusalem had heard of this prophet from Nazareth of Galilee who had power over death. So they're ready to crown him as their hero. So they begin to lay palms. That's why it's called Palm Sunday. They cut the branches of trees. They begin to even take articles of clothing and lay them along the road. In today's vernacular, it would be said that they were rolling out the red carpet for Jesus as he marched into Jerusalem. So they begin to cry, "Hosanna! Hosanna!" Which is the Greek form of the Hebrew word Hoshiana, which means, "Oh, save us." Or, "Save, I pray." Or simply, "Just save us, Lord. Save us. You're the one that we've been looking for. You are the one. No one else can save us." However, they only took the part of the prophecies that they liked. And they omitted others, like we often do. For example, Isaiah 9:7 says, "Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end." Oh, they were ready for that. "Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice for that time forward, even forever." And then it says, "The seal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." It says there that his government and peace will have no end. Well, hey, they said, let's crown him king. He's powerful. He's going to overthrow the Roman yoke over us. And you know what? This verse is 100% true about the Messiah. But this is talking about the second coming. There's a time when he's going to come back to earth. The Bible says he's going to ride on a white horse. You know, there will be a trumpet sound and everybody will know that he is the real God, that he is the Messiah. And the Bible says that every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. And many of us, especially during these times of trying, you know, we're longing for his appearing. We're saying, "Hosanna! Save us, Lord! Save us from our suffering!" But it wasn't yet to be. Jesus' prime mission on his first coming, was to overthrow the rule or slavery of sin. He needed to be a spiritual king before he was the political king, the governmental king that people were looking for. So they celebrated him. They praised him. But we know that a week later, like a lot of us, it says that they were scattered, they were afraid, and many of them, even one of his disciples, denied him. The scriptures tell us that actually, at one point in time, all of his disciples were away from him. He was left alone. They were confused. You know, they were not looking for the suffering king. From the one from Isaiah 53, they had kind of left out this part, which says he's acquainted with suffering and despised. It says that he is bruised for our iniquities. That's not the Messiah that we're looking for. But I ask you today, which king are you looking for? Which king are you looking for on this Palm Sunday? Are you simply looking for a healer? For a wise man? For a prophet? Maybe you're looking for a fictional hero? Or are you looking for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, our hero of heroes, our hero of heroes? He's not just a hero, he's the hero of heroes. That is Jesus Christ. He is our Savior. And I believe that Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, defines the nature, you know, of the hero of heroes better than any of the passages in the scriptures. So I'm going to read it for you. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, it says, and I hope this encourages you, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. But it says here that he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of a cross. Therefore, it says here, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess, what? That Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. So from this scripture, I want to give you three reasons why Jesus is the hero of heroes. Number one, Jesus is the hero of heroes because he gave up his position as king. The Bible says here that being a God, being equal with God, he says he didn't grasp onto that. He said, I'm willing to let go of my position as king because I love the people, because I created them, and I'm going to lower myself as far as I can go. The Bible says that he was born in a humble home. When he was just hours from being born, the Bible says that he was placed on a manger, on a feeding trough for barn animals. That's how low he went, because he didn't want to come in splendor and riches. And what he was saying, I want to know, let everybody know, and I want to prove to everyone that I can relate to all the sufferings that they're going through, all the difficulties, whether they're economic. The Bible says that Jesus wept, you know, at the sight of the death of Lazarus. Even though he knew he was going to raise him, he saw with his compassion the pain that Mary and Martha and the people around, as they were mourning for Lazarus, he could sense their pain. And so he wept with them. You know, the Bible says that he hungered. He went in and fasted for 40 days and he hungered. You know, why? He wanted to let us know that you and I can relate to him, you know, like no other hero can. He is the hero of heroes. Hallelujah. He proved that he can relate to every bit of humanity and that he can fully express compassion. Fully express compassion for you in the situation that you're in. And the scripture does tell us that he often moved with compassion. You know, even in the passage that we were reading, if you go to the Gospel of Luke in chapter 19, verse 41, the Bible says that as he was riding on the donkey, it says that he stopped. And he says that he began to weep over Jerusalem, because he knew of the difficult things that were going to come for Jerusalem in the days ahead. You know, let me just tell you, he has not forgotten you. Like we said last week, he is in the boat with you. You know, he knows exactly what you're going through. He's in the midst of your family, in the midst of your relationship. You know, you don't even have to open your mouth. He already knows your petitions. Yes, lift them up to him, because he loves the relationship part. But let me tell you, he already knows what you're going through better than you. He knows better than you what you need. But the Bible says that he will use everything in your favor. Even what the enemy meant for evil, he can turn it around for your good. The Bible says that God works all things for good for those that love God. So reach out to him. You know, look up to the hills for your help. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He's going to come and reach into your home, and he's going to help you through this. Let me tell you, we are going to get through this. This is going to pass. But God is up to something. He's always working. Like the song says, even when I don't see him, he's working. Even when I don't feel him, he's working. Hallelujah. He never stops working. Jesus said, my Father is always at work. Hallelujah. Thank you for that, Jesus. You know, he's the only hero that loves you unconditionally. You know, he knows everything about you, all your mistakes, everything you've said, everything you mutter under your breath, everything that you thought, and yet he loves you. I don't think there's any other hero that could do that would love you so intimately despite of who you are and what you've done and where you've been. No matter what regrets are in your heart today, he's reaching out to you with compassion. He's loving you right now. He's the only hero that can truly promise to never leave you nor forsake you. The psalmist says, even if my father and mother leave me, you will never leave me nor forsake me. So he's in the boat with you and I. And reason number two why Jesus is the hero of heroes is because Jesus knew that he was going to suffer and he still went through it. He knew every bit, every detail of the excruciating pain he was going to go through. You know, this week we're celebrating Holy Week, Good Friday, which is when we remember his death on the cross, the scourging, the punishment, the rejection, the pulling of his beard, You know, and we're going to revisit that on Friday in detail. I really want to invite you to join us on the live stream and have the communion together. We're going to remember what Jesus has done. He told us that every time that we can, that we should remember him and his death, and that we do it through communion. So we're going to do that. And we're going to honor his death, because the Bible says that with that spilling of blood, there's no remission of sins. The blood of Jesus, he's the spotless lamb, was spilled so you and I could be saved. Amen. And that blood has paid for all. Not only did he pay for your sins and for your past, you know, he paid for your anxiety. He paid for your curses. Hallelujah. He is with you to this day. Verse 8 says, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of a cross. You know, heroes, they run into danger. They run into danger. Heroes are in short supply, I would say. And we thank God once again for our soldiers, for our Marines, for our sailors, you know, for our airmen. We thank God for our first responders, our medical professionals. You know, some of them are calling them medical heroes, and it is so true. We should call them that. They're risking their life, and we understand the degree of the risks that they're posing to themselves and their families. So we thank God. You know, there's even accounts in some countries, and maybe even in the U.S., where medical professionals have died after serving people because of the COVID-19. So we thank God for people that are willing to lay down their lives. The Bible says that there's no better expression of love than one who lays down his life, you know, for his friend. Amen. But I want to say that Jesus took upon himself all the sin, all the sicknesses, all the curse, all the consequences, all the pain. He absorbed it all with his death on the cross. And we don't know the future. You know, medical professionals don't know what's going to happen. But let me tell you, Jesus knew exactly what was going to happen. And instead of turning back, he went towards the cross. He knew what was going to happen. The Bible says that he went into the Garden of Gethsemane. He kneeled down and began to pray. He even asked his disciples, would you pray with me for a little bit? Because, you know, I'm anguishing to the point of death. And it says that he was crying out to God, and he was saying, Jesus, if there's any way that you could, that this cup can pass, you know, from me, but let not my will be done, but let your will be done. And the Bible says that he was such anguish that he began to sweat, you know, with droplets of blood mixed in it. And that is a medical fact, that when people under high duress, sometimes our sweat can also have, you know, blood mixed in it, because our capillaries, our vessels begin to burst and mix with our sweat. So Jesus was under such intense scrutiny. And I know some of you are going through difficulties. Let me tell you, Jesus went through the cross so that he could pay for all of your pain this very day. He knew full well what he would experience. Even while he was riding into Jerusalem, even while being anointed by Mary Magdalene, he said, hey, she's just putting this balm on me, preparing me for my burial. And like I said, when he was praying so intensely in the garden, he knew what was going to happen. But he still went ahead. He ran into danger and embraced the cross for us. So he is my hero, and he is the hero of heroes. And Hebrews 12:2 sums it up. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He said, I have to do this because I love my people. I love my creation, and I will die for them. So he didn't just lower himself, you know, to the lowest on the earth, but it says that he went to death on the cross. So he is the hero of heroes. And the reason number three, he's the hero of heroes, because he's the only one that has been given authority over all things. Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11 says, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. Like we remember last week, Jesus has the power to still the storm. You know, and some people will blame God. God, where are you in the midst of this? You know, the honest truth is that we've been pushing God away from us so far. You know, and the spiritual laws that govern what we do, you know, keeps him from stepping in at time, because we have said that we will not, because we have been proud, because we've raised our fist at him. But the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 6, that God demonstrated his love for us, that we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. No matter what you've said to him, about him, how you rejected him, the Bible says that he said, I still love them, and I'm still going to go to the cross for them. And the Bible says that because he made this great sacrifice for us, that the Father said, I'm going to exalt him above every name. above every celebrity, above every government official, above anyone out there, you know, who has had their 50 minutes of fame. His name is greater than all that. And the Bible tells us that one day, you know, hopefully sooner than later, every knee is going to bow before him. And every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord of all. Everybody's going to know him. Right now people are saying, well, who is Lord? There's many religions out there. But I want to tell you that Jesus is the only way. He's the only name under heaven by which men can be saved. Hallelujah. He's the only one that was spotless. And because he was spotless, he was the only perfect sacrifice for us. When he went to the cross, he was able to pay for the sins of all of us, past, present, and future. Isn't that amazing? He only paid for your past sins, but also for the ones today, the ones you're going to commit tomorrow, and the ones you're going to commit 2 weeks and a year from now. He's already paid for them. That's amazing. So all you have to do is you have to receive them in your heart. So just like when he went into Jerusalem, there was a triumphal entry. He was received as king. So I want to ask you, will you receive him today as your triumphal king? Will you let him into your heart? Because he needs to be your spiritual king. He needs to be the suffering king before he is the political king, before he's the governing king that we're going to see at the end of the age, before the second coming of Christ occurs. You know, you need to make sure that you bowed your knee before him, that you humbled yourself before him. The Bible says that whoever comes to me, by no means will I push him away. The Bible says whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the hour, people. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father except by me. You know, no government, no organization, no one has the answers right now, because only Jesus has the power to still the storm. He is the hero of heroes. And let me tell you, the day is coming when he's going to say, peace, be still. And he's going to silence this COVID-19 virus. Hallelujah. Meanwhile, his people, the ones that are close to him, like in the days of Goshen, the Bible says he's going to keep you protected away from the plague, just like he did with the 10 plagues in Egypt. He's going to keep your family protected. So be of good cheers. God has overcome the world. Hallelujah. But Jesus said, in this world you will have afflictions, but be of good cheers, for I have overcome the world. He's already overcome it. And God's thoughts are so much higher than ours. He's using all things in our favor. You may not understand what's happening, and that's why it's called faith. That's why it's called trust, because we have to say, God, you know, I don't understand it. I don't know how you're going to make it happen. I don't know how you're going to do it, but Jesus, I just want to reach out to you. I surrender my life before you. I lay my life down, just like those palms, just like those articles of clothing. I'm laying down my life that you may walk through. Hallelujah. I am like that donkey. You know, if you can use anyone at this hour, use me, Lord God, Father. I am no one. You are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You are the Hero of Heroes. Hallelujah. I want you to know this, that God is allowing this to ride on a little bit longer, because without it, many of us would not turn to him. Like the psalmist said, until we're on our back, we will not look up and say, where is my help? Where is the one that can heal me? Where is the one that can save my marriage? Where is the one that can meet my needs? And like we said before, there's a storm out here. It's all around us. It's in the news. It's swirling around. But worse than that, there's a storm inside your heart. There's a storm in your mind, and Jesus is saying, come to me. Come to me, all those that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, says the word. That is his promise to you. If you will come to me, I will take the burden. And the Bible says that he was going to give you a pass that surpasses all understanding. How does that work? Well, there comes a time when you say, I should be really worried. I should be, you know, at my wit's end, but for some reason, I'm at peace. Why? Because when you give your heart to Jesus, the Bible says that you're sealed with the Spirit of the promise. The Holy Spirit comes inside of you, and it begins to do things inside of you that you could never do before. All of a sudden, this peace overwhelms you. Like that song that we always sing, it is well. It is well with my soul. Hallelujah. Like that other song that we says, you know, when I look into your holiness, when I gaze into your loveliness, and all things that surround just become shadows in the light of you. You know, he's able to make everything around us, as dark as they may be, just become shadows and push them away. And meanwhile, you have peace in your heart. And the Bible says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy and peace and patience and all those things in Galatians 5:22. The Bible says that the kingdom of heaven is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. He is inside of you, and He's encouraging you this day. As you reach out to Him, He's breathing on you more of His Spirit. Take it all. He's breathing His Holy Spirit into your family, into your family room, into your living room, you know, on the other side of that device that you're watching through. And He is saying, I will fill you, and I'm going to give you a peace that's everlasting. Today I give you my peace. And the Bible says in John, like, not like the world gives us. The world didn't give it to you, and they cannot take it away. Hallelujah. No matter what happens out there, you know, His children are full of peace. So will you surrender before Him to say, will you bow your knee before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Will you make Him your hero of heroes, because He's coming to rescue? He's already proved it, but He still has power. You know, He has unending power to save you. His love is unfailing. Reach out to Him today, this morning. Let me pray for you. And if this is you, you say, I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I want Him to come into my heart. I want to ride triumphantly, you know, into my heart, victoriously as the King of Kings. All you have to do is pray a very simple prayer. Well, we're going to repent and we're going to ask Him to come in. So would you repeat this after me? Say, Jesus, I thank You that You're the hero of heroes. I thank You that You prove that You love us and that You have power over life and death, and that You can forgive sins. Thank You that You died on the cross for me. Lord God, I want the full assurance of Your salvation and of my future, that no matter what happens here, that I will go to heaven one day with You. Thank You that Your word says that the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. So I receive today the free gift. I ask You to forgive me. I ask You to wash me and to renew me and to bring me into Your family and deposit Your Holy Spirit inside of me so that You can go with me wherever I go and fill me to overflowing, that Your peace would cover my heart and mind, that all of my needs would be met, Lord God. And I pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Thank You, Jesus, for Your sacrifice. We honor You today. Amen. I just want to rejoice over you if you made that prayer today for the first time. You know, the Bible says that there's rejoicing in heaven every time a sinner repents. Every time somebody comes back to Him, He's welcoming you with open arms just to love you. So just receive His love today. Amen.